invite you to turn to our scripture lesson for this Sunday morning. I read a portion of this several weeks ago as a part of another message, and I believe that the words are even more fitting for this Sunday morning than previously read. In the 17th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we find these words beginning in verse 16. Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 16. This is the word of the Lord. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews, with the devout persons, and also in the market daily with those that met with him. Then there were certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics. They encountered him. And some of them said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, "He seems to be setting forth of strange gods, because he preached to them of Jesus and the resurrection." So they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof you speak is? You bring certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." Now the Athenians, which were there, spent all their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. I believe this is a key to understanding human personality, human interaction. Spending time either to hear or to tell some new thing. Then Paul stood up in the midst of Mars Hill, and he spoke, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are superstitious. For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions. I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, now him I declare unto you. God made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and he dwells not in temples made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, because he gives to all life and breath and all things." Now here's the key, verse 26. "He has made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times appointed and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he's not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring." Thus far, the reading of today's scripture lesson. As previously mentioned to you, it is only once in approximately every 7 years that the church has the opportunity to celebrate the anniversary of the 4th of July on a Sunday morning. I just consider this a pivotal, precious opportunity which the Lord gives us. However, if there ever was a year where the church, the Lord's people, needed to stop and reflect and consider and give thanks for the great, great gift of Almighty God in what we call the United States of America, I believe this Sunday morning is such a time. This year, 2021, marks exactly the 245th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. 245th anniversary. And I would like to declare to you my conviction that the Declaration is the greatest document of freedom ever written by any peoples in the entire history of the earth. Today, I also believe our cherished freedom, which we all enjoy and many take for granted, today is under vicious assault. And the tragedy of this assault is that much of it is by our own citizens. Now, I'd like to be very clear with you today. I love this nation. I love this country. I love the fact that by whatever miracle of His grace, Father God permitted me to be born in this nation at the time that He did. It is His gift, and it should never, ever, ever be taken slightly or overlooked, or for which we do not give thanks. But today, as I look out across the land and listen and read carefully, I find that the most fundamental principles on which this nation was established are not only being assaulted, they're being challenged, they're being denied, and they're also being torn down. I put forth just one primary example of this, though there are many that we could include, and that is the raging proclamation of what is called the 1619 Project. This is right straight out of the pits of hell. It is a theory spawned by none other than Satan himself to divide this nation, to continue the warfare of racism and racial division by declaring that this nation was not founded in 1620, but in 1619 by white supremacists to continue their plan of slavery in this new land. To come to that conclusion, one must ignore and then deny all factual history about the discovery of this nation and its growth and its current situation. No question about it, the United States is quickly becoming the cancel nation. And rather than establishing and celebrating and remembering those great events which have brought us to where we are, the force of the movement is to destroy and cancel those very celebrations and replace them with an idiotic philosophy that is untrue and destructive. Now, believing this so strongly as I do, several weeks ago, knowing and realizing that the 4th of July was going to happen on a Sunday morning, I began to pray and read scripture and study and think, what would we say on Sunday, July 4th, 2021? Now, there are those who don't believe that the church is the place to discuss tragic current historical situations. I disagree. The history of the church disagrees because century after century, pastor after pastor after pastor in the pulpits declared the truth of God's word and related it to the events of the history of that day. And I believe today is a day where, as maybe never before, this declaration needs to be made. So as part of my research, I took out some old hymnals, and I started to look through hymns that are related to the celebration of the Christian faith in a nation. And I came across an old, we call it a hymn, it's a patriotic song that isn't in many hymnals today. And the title of it is America, 'Tis of Thee. I always thought it should say America, It Is of Thee, but musicians, you know, America, 'Tis of Thee to fit the music. And I read down through the verses of that old, old song, and I came across in verse 4, the final verse, these words: Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. With freedom's holy light. I don't recall ever thinking about that before. Freedom's holy light. What does that mean? Not what does it mean to you and to me, but what would it mean if we examined that from Scripture, from the Word of God? And so in the time that remains, I'm going to look at each of these words: freedom, holy, and light, in the context of Scripture, and perhaps come close to what the songwriter had in mind when these words were first penned. First, the principle of freedom. I believe that to most people that live in the United States of America, I say most people, the word freedom might be one of the most precious words in our entire vocabulary. The Bible has a great deal to say about freedom. The Bible declares, for freedom, Christ has made us free. And Jesus, in one of his most powerful statements in the Gospel of John, said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so I see there the twin pillars declared by Jesus, the Word of God, of freedom and truth. There is no truth without freedom. And there is no true freedom without truth. These two cannot be separated. This most precious word, freedom, has been written about. It has been fought for. It has been died to protect. And reasonable people are seeing today the fleeing from other countries of individuals to come to America, the land of freedom, fleeing all kinds of destructive influences in their homelands. No other nation has ever enjoyed the freedoms which we are able to take for granted, or has ever been so prosperous over so long as a people. The first principle of freedom, as it was declared in this nation, the first principle of freedom, was the freedom to worship the Lord God as one chooses. That was the first foundational principle of freedom. It was written into the Mayflower Compact. It was written into the Declaration of Independence. And it was written into the Constitution of the United States. It is the Creator of life who declared in Scripture, all men are created equal. That's the Word of God. It's Scripture. And they are endowed by their Creator with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Abraham Lincoln understood that when he included those words in the Declaration of Independence, and surely those words were understood as the Constitution of our nation was first written. But let me be very clear for you today. I don't know how closely you follow the events that are taking place day by day by day. Maybe this is not of great concern to you. I don't know. I believe it should be. And I believe that we should understand that while freedom of worship was the first principle of the great documents of freedom of this nation, the first goal of every socialist totalitarian government in the entire history of the world is to destroy and take away freedoms, and beginning with the freedom of religion. There's much at stake here. There's much to ponder. There's much to pray about, as there are forces in this nation racing to embrace radical liberal socialism as an alternative life for this country. Now the word holy, freedom, holy. I think as I pondered this for a while, I thought this was weird. I thought it was strange that the songwriter would say freedom's holy light. I must confess, I've never thought of freedom as holy. I've thought of freedom as a privilege, freedom as a gift, freedom as a responsibility. I've different ways of looking at freedom, but in my whole lifetime, I have never equated the words freedom and holy. So why did the songwriter do that? Well, I think part of the difficulty is our misunderstanding of the biblical word holy. When you talk about holy or holiness to most people, they think of righteousness, purity, sinlessness, and perfection. To many people, that would be a description of holy. And that's the danger of using human explanations for biblical truths. The word holy, hagia, in the original Greek, has nothing to do with perfection. It has to do with consecration. Something is made holy by consecrating it, by setting it apart. So a sanctuary can be referred to as holy. A sanctuary doesn't sin or not sin. It's a place of gathering. But it's holy because it was consecrated at some point to the glory of God. Whatever we consecrate, or another way of saying it is set apart, what we set apart unto God, that makes it holy. Now that begins to shed some light on why the writer of the song would speak about freedom being holy. Because freedom is holy because it is a gift of Father God set apart and consecrated by Him. That's what makes freedom holy. Freedom is holy, furthermore, because it has been purchased at the cost of human sacrifice and blood. That makes freedom holy. And freedom is holy because freedom must be guarded, defended, and preserved. Freedom is holy. Now the final of the three words is light. Oh, how much the Bible has to say about light. So much of writers of Scripture focused on this great subject of light, eternal light. And wherever the light is mentioned in Scripture, it most usually is connected to the word truth. Shedding light upon something means exposing the truth about whatever it is that is being discussed. Light is a powerful principle of Scripture. So let us... It's good to turn those things off when you get to church. Only the Lord God is the absolute source of light, and he is only the absolute source of truth. There is no competition. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said that, I am the light of the world. There is no other light that is different from the light of Jesus. But Jesus also said that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Jesus said also you, that's us, we, are to be the light of the world, and let our lights not disappear. So using the words of Scripture, Jesus spoke of the light in this way. He said, men do not light a light and place it under a bushel. He also said, neither is a city set upon a hill and hidden. And so Jesus, picking up on this word, declared to us, so let your light shine that others may behold your good works. So our responsibility in all of this is to let our light, which is the light of truth, the light of Almighty God, shine through our daily lives. And I think many of you might agree, America's light is not shining so brightly today as it has in past days. There are many seeking to destroy this light, to diminish this light, to hide the light, the truth, hide the light, the truth, to deny the truth. And that's why the Apostle John, in the opening verses of his gospel, said, men love the darkness more than light. Never thought to equate that as this day. Men love the darkness more than light. So you and I are among those who are called to guard and tend this light. You might say a new way of looking at our mission is that we are to be light keepers. We are to be light keepers. The light doesn't just keep itself. It can be celebrated, it can be remembered, but it needs to be expressed in not just words, but in daily lives and deeds. You and I are called to be the light keepers. Now, in closing, I want to read a quotation. Many years ago, I found this Bible in a collection of Bibles in a Christian bookstore before they all closed, and it's called America's Patriot's Bible. I brought this here once many years ago, and this Bible is the text of the New King James, but it also includes on almost every page a writing linking this nation, its history, its people, to Scripture. It's the only book I know, Bible I know, that does this. And as I was looking through, I came across a little writing by John Quincy Adams. John Quincy Adams was the sixth president of the United States, and he was the son of John Adams, who was the second president of the United States. And listen to what John Quincy Adams wrote many years ago. Why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and venerated festival returns on this day? Now, he's equating the festival of Christmas, the birth of the Lord, with the festival of the birth of this nation. It's an amazing, amazing comparison. Is it not that in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior, that it forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel's dispensation. Is it not that the Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact based upon the foundation of the Redeemer's mission upon the earth? Just think of that. He's putting these two events together in the light of the Holy Spirit's revelation. That it laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity and gave to the world the first irrevocable pledge of the fulfillment of the ancient prophecies announced directly from heaven at the birth of the Savior and predicted by the greatest Hebrew prophets 600 years before. What's John Quincy Adams referring to? He's linked together the prophecy of Isaiah, where Isaiah writes of the coming of Christ, and Isaiah writes, upon him shall the government of the world rest. Upon him, upon Jesus, the coming Savior. And as Jesus came and died and gave his life and rose again, he established the foundation upon which freedom is required to survive among any people. Do you see why in totalitarian governments, the first step forward is to destroy the church, the freedom of worship? I pray that this sobering realization will come to each of us. I don't believe this should terminate our parties and our fireworks and our hot dogs, hamburgers, and whatever people do as they think they're celebrating the 4th of July. Lots of things. But I pray alongside of all of that, we could set the current reality of, I believe, the desperate call for us to truly pray, let our lights shine, and support the church's mission to declare the freedom of Christ and salvation to the world. So the fourth verse reads this way: long may our land be bright. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Let us pray. Father God, we are so privileged to take a little time out of this 4th of July weekend to consider the scriptural foundation of what we celebrate as the freedom and the independence of this nation, and your gift of the covenant promises upon which the Constitution, Declaration, charters of states are all based. You are our God. You are our King. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. And we say today, let freedom ring. Let freedom ring across the nation, across the earth, across the skies, throughout the universe. Let freedom ring. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Lord's people said,